Welcome to Zion for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. We are in the end of the church year, in the closing Sundays of the church year. And so our focus is, you know, the end times, the end of the world and the return of Jesus Christ to bring us into glory. As such, let us sing our opening hymn this morning. The day is surely drawing near.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, November 16th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Ken Richard, Diane Breen, and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 508, The Day is Surely Drawing Near, number 508 in the Lutheran Service Book. The family of Marlon and Kathy Rose are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Marlon and Kathy's wedding anniversary on November 20th. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for his many blessings.
please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together.
Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of Malachi, the 4th chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks.
The epistle reading from 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we commend you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were here with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly, and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign that these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up for the synagogue and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by the parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for the women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when you see these things take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 513, The Clouds of Judgment Gather, hymn number 513 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text from today's gospel reading. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is, as we have mentioned already this morning, the end of the church year. And one of the blessings of following the liturgical calendar is that it walks us through the life of Christ. I mean, you know, let's say it walks us through salvation history. The liturgical calendar takes us through the church year with its seasons of Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Easter and Pentecost and the Sundays after Pentecost and the various festivals and feasts in between those times. So, you know, we have this church year that we follow. And we are now in the last Sundays of the church year, and it's not too terribly difficult to figure out what it is that we are focusing on during these last Sundays of the church year and what the readings point to. right? And you already know what it is. You've got it in your head. It's the last days. We're focusing on the last days. The end of the world and the return of Jesus Christ in glory. Now, in our text for today, Jesus is teaching about the last days and the signs that are leading up to those last days. And yet, at the exact same time, you and I, we must remember that currently we are in the last days. Right? So when are the last days? The last days is that time between the ascension of Jesus into heaven and the return of Jesus from heaven. However long that takes, however long that is, those are the last days. So that means currently we are within the last days. In today's text, and I think it was probably a disciple of Jesus who makes the remark, look at this temple. This is fantastic. Look how magnificent it is. Look how wonderful it is. Look at the offerings that are brought here and the stonework that is in this temple. It's magnificent. It's great. And what marvelous stones are used in its construction. And now Jesus, at this point, nearing the end of his ministry, because that's when this takes place, he's nearing the end of his ministry, proceeds to say, do you see all this? Not one stone is going to be left upon another. Now, remember that Jesus had earlier gone into the temple, and after fashioning a whip of cords, he chased the money changers out of the temple. And the Jewish leaders go to Jesus and they say, look, what gives you the authority to do this? And Jesus says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. You want to know where my authority is? I'll demonstrate it. Destroy this temple. It has taken 46 years to build this temple. And you say you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But the temple that he was talking about was the temple of his body. So what is going on in these last days in this teaching, this discourse of Jesus? He's saying, look, the glory of God is moving from here, the brick and stone temple, to here, his very body. And this is where the glory of God is moving from the temple, moving from the holy place. And I mean, when you put it all together, right? What happens when Jesus dies? What happens to the curtain that's separating the holy place from the rest of the temple? Rips in two and falls down, right? And so Jesus is letting them know, the glory of God is resting in me, not in this brick and stone building. And he was speaking of his body. So as we ponder these last days, we remember that Jesus is busy with moving the locale of God's presence from the physical temple in Jerusalem to the fleshly body, that is he himself. And the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem will prompt the people to seek the location of God himself in the place where he has come to dwell forever. And that place is Jesus. God dwells in Jesus, for Jesus is God in the flesh. So Jesus is asked, because, curious people want to know, right? Hey, when are these things going to happen? When are they going to happen? When will they take place? Jesus gives a twofold answer, and I think maybe we can stretch that into a third one for our purposes this morning. Jesus speaks of both the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. Okay, all right. So first, Jesus speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem. Times aren't going to go good for the new Christians, and Jesus is very clear about this. They will be persecuted. Family member will turn against family member. They will be ratted out to the synagogue. They will be hauled before the priests and the elders. They will be brought before kings and leaders. Some will even be put to death for the faith. They will be questioned. He says there's going to be false messiahs. There'll be people popping up going, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah. You know, and that did happen. We know historically speaking, other people popped up and said, I'm the Messiah. And what did they do? They led a revolt. They led revolts against the Romans. And what did the Romans do? The Romans do what the Romans do. Crush the revolts down and put those people to death. All right, so Jesus says, hey, pay attention when you see these things. And you know the end is coming near. And this finally happens, right, in the year 70 A.D. And the Jewish people are doing what the Jewish people had a tendency to do. They revolt and rebel. And when they revolt and rebel, the emperor sends the legions into Rome and just destroys the place. Tears the temple down, destroys the city of Jerusalem. And God's wrath is poured out then in 70 A.D. on the people of Jerusalem for the rejection of the Messiah. Rome was his means of judgment. Then shall come the time we now live in, and these are truly the last days, the days of the Gentiles. Okay? Jesus describes the nearness of the end as, how does he describe it? Like not our destruction, but our coming redemption. Wow, this is fantastic. We are going to be redeemed. We are going to be brought out of this great tribulation into the wonder and the glory and the majesty that is to come, into the days where we will live with the Lord forever and ever. And in these last days, there will be signs in the sky, in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars. There will be nations in distress. And we must read the signs aright. We must know that our Lord Jesus Christ will not delay in his return, but he will come at precisely at the appointed time. And for us, as this draws nearer and nearer, this isn't supposed to be a fearful time for us. It is supposed to be a time of expectation, a time of looking forward to, a time when we are saying, yes, we are getting closer and closer to the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his return. And though we face persecution, though we would face natural disaster, we are to hold our heads up high, looking for the redemption that is to come, expecting the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we remember our faith, and we remember all that we have been taught. We run to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cling to our baptisms, that most precious sacrament in which God removes us from the kingdom of the devil and brings us into the kingdom of his own dear Son, that sacrament in which we are made to be Christians and given the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith in Christ and life everlasting. That most holy sacrament that we prize so dearly. We remember our confirmation vows. Will you suffer death rather than fall away from this church and this teaching? I will with the help of God. Right? We come to the table of the Lord. We approach his table to partake of his holy meal, the very body and blood that Jesus gives us for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Gives us his sacrament to hold on to in these last days as we await the triumphant return of our Savior King. Now, we've got the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the world, and I thought, you know, there was a third thing to be thinking about as we face these last days. And quite frankly, right here at this point, here is where I'm not sure that I haven't got, you know, on a bridge too far. I haven't stepped too far out on a limb. As we speak of the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem, I was thinking that there's another temple. Right, there's another temple. And what is that other temple? It is one temple that is very precious to us, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. We must all, each of us, come to grips, because all of this, right, is coming down, the end of the world, last days. It's getting very personal, because it will affect our flesh. It will affect our bodies. It will affect us. And we must deal with the end of these temples. And while I don't, you know, it's not something we like to think about a lot or dwell on too much, but these bodies will be cast down and returned to the dust from which they were made. Not one stone, as it were, will be left upon another. We look upon our flesh and our actions and say, what a mighty temple it is. What a mighty temple. What a gift from God it is. And it is to be used to God's glory. Whether it is using the skills that God has given us in our secular professions to the best of our ability, or it is to be used as a temple to proclaim the reign of Jesus Christ. Over the years, I've learned that we who are the temple of God, we who are believers in Christ, we have the potential to be wicked. That is, we sin. Yet at the same time, I've really, you know, basically come to believe that the believer in Christ is rarely intentionally sinful or intentionally wicked. Does that mean we're not sinful beings? No, that's not what that means. By no means we commit sin. We daily sin much. But on the other hand, we may not sin intentionally, but we are inherently sinful. That is, by nature we are sinful and unclean. Hebrews chapter 12 reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Sin clings to us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah, Jesus has said to us, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So yes, sin still clings to us. But let us ever note that until our final glory, until the day that Christ returns, until the day of our ushering, being ushered into heaven, we are saint and sinner at the same time. Both at the same time. It's hard to wrap your heads around that. It's hard to understand, but that's the way it is. Saint and sinner at the same time. And that means we continue to struggle daily against the sin that besets us. And when we feel our temples crumbling, right? We are in danger when we feel our temples crumbling. We can be looking for those other messiahs when that happens. When life itself becomes an idol along with the body, we won't run after every wind of teaching that says, don't eat super processed foods. Drink 64 ounces of water a day. Take all the right vitamins. And you'll stay young forever. No, we won't. We're not going to stay young forever. And we're not going to stay healthy forever. There will come a time when this flesh shall fail, where we will bow our heads, close our eyes, and our spirit will leave our bodies for the heavenly realms. Christ gave us this body. God has given us this body. And yes, we take care of this body. But we focus on the one place where the glory of God dwells. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Through His Word and His sacraments, let us then be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ in glory. Let us lift up our heads as we see the signs of the times. Let our prayers be prayers of faithfulness to our God, to the only true God. And then let us welcome the return of Jesus Christ, not in fear or concern or worry, but with joy and glory and happiness in our hearts. For we will meet our Savior in the air, and we will live forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Holy God, hear your people as they pray, and grant to us all things needful and beneficial according to your gracious promise in Christ our Lord. Keep us from being led astray by those who speak lies in your name. Awaken within us ears to hear your word and hearts to believe, even in the face of trial and trouble, that we may be found faithful when our Lord comes in his glory to finish his new creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Uphold all ministers of your gospel and those who hear it gladly. Cause that word to be honored and so deliver them from the wicked and evil men. Give a mouth and wisdom to your people in all adversity to confess you boldly and endure faithfully to the end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, you judge the world with righteousness and your people with equity. Bless us with good and faithful leaders and government to defend your people, to punish the evildoer and to encourage virtue. Raise up those who will serve the cause of peace among the nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Your Christ is our rising sun with healing in his wings. Shine his light upon the sick, those who battle the infirmities of the body, those whose hearts are heavy with grief, and all who have requested our prayers. We pray especially for all those who are beginning new medical treatments for the diseases that afflict them. Most notably do we pray for those who will begin this week cancer treatments, and we ask that you would use such treatments to strengthen their bodies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Bring us to receive with thanksgiving and faith the most blessed food of Christ's flesh for the life of the world and his blood that cleanses us from all our sins. Bless us with unity of faith and harmony of doctrine and life. By this blessed sacrament, equip us with all the gifts of the Spirit and bring to harvest the rich fruits of the Spirit in the lives of your people, both now and forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Lord, you are the strength of your people. Grant that we may not give into temptation or to be caught up in evil, but that we would endure through your grace to the day of Christ's return. We pray that we would be found holy and blameless by the power of his grace when you bring the dawn of the last day and lead us into the place where there is no night, no darkness, no death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Blessed Lord, you have promised never to abandon us and to provide all that we need for this day and for eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hear the prayers of your people and grant them all good things for your mercy's sake. To you, eternal God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We now rise for the singing of our offertory. You. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Amen. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith of the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you each and the ones who faith in the life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
the true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 348, The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns, hymn number 348 in the Lutheran Service Book. Please be seated. Just want to remind folks of there's quite a bit with the youth going on today. First of all, grades 2 through 8 from 1:30 to 2:30 this afternoon is Christmas program practice. That's grades 2 through 8, 1:30 to 2:30 Christmas program practice. Following Christmas program practice, for those same grades and any member of the congregation who would like to join them, they're going to be stringing popcorn for the Christmas trees for the Christmas program. So anybody's welcome to come help with that. And that is from 2:30 to 3 o'clock this afternoon over here in the auditorium. Following that at 3 o'clock at school, at Zion School, is Christian Formation Night and Gym Night. Well, let's call it afternoon. From 3 to 4:45. No drinks, no snacks to be brought. Just, you know, if you want to bring your own water bottle, please bring your own water bottle for that, and we'll have some games in the gym. And I think, if I remember right, somewhere, yes, right here, dodgeball. That will be fun. The only thing better than dodgeball in the school gym is Red Rover on the parking lot asphalt.
Let me tell you. That, there you go. That's the memory of my VBS in Pekin, Trinity Lutheran Church, Pekin, Illinois, playing Red Rover on the asphalt. That, you know, who worries about stitches and scars? All right. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.